Yoel Perek Dalet Pasek Tes on page 254. Kiru Zois Bagoyim Katshu Milchama. Okay, Hashem over here is Yoel is saying, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I want you to make the following announcement. I want you to call out among the nations. I want you to Katshu simply means I want you to designate a day for war. Simply, this refers to the Milchames Goig Umog. We're now going to discuss the Milchames Goig Umog in more detail. Ha'iru ha'giboirim, it says to the giboirim, they shall be aroused. Okay, there shall be a battle stations. Call for battle stations. Everyone should get into their position in war. Call up the reserves. Yikshu, let them come close. Yalu.
Maybe the word should be alert.
Alert, okay, there's an alert. Alert is sent out, everyone should be, they should be alerted. Yikshu, they shall come near. Ya'alu, they shall ascend, kol anshei ha'milchama. Really three words. There are a total of three words describing how people shall be called for war. There is ho'iru, there is yikshu, and ya'alu. I guess you have to speak to people in the military.
Yeah, but they say it's a call-up.
A call-up. Okay, the all of the reserves are called up. But there are three.
Just like what's the word here? Mobilization. Like an aliyah. Like getting an aliyah.
To ascend, to the mobilization is right, very good. The troops are mobilized. Three terms are used in this passage to describe, there are four terms. I should say there are four. There's kachu. Kachu means to prepare. Prepare for war. Ho'iru ha'giborim. The giborim shall be aroused. Number three, yikshu. They shall come near. I guess it means near, come near the battlefield. And ya'alu, they shall ascend. Four different terms here are being used in this pasuk to describe the beginning, the preparation of Milchemes Goig Umagoig, and the pasuk includes Kol Anshei HaMilchama. Now pasuk Yud says, a few pasukim together, Kotu. Kotu means to break, means to crush. How exactly does the Metzudos Tzion translate the word Kotu? Means Kisisa, to crush. Utechina, and to grind. Crush and grind. Itechem. Itechem means your plowshares. We're going to contrast that pasuk in a few moments. The pasuk there that's written, I think, Yeshaya. We're going to contrast that pasuk with Yoel over here. But here, and that pasuk you're referring to is where, in the times of Mashiach, there will no longer be wars, and you will take your weapons and you will destroy them with your plowshares. Here it says you will take the plowshares and convert them, transform them into weapons.
No, that was the. I think
it's the opposite.
The convert your swords into plowshares, not to break them with plowshares.
I thought they were meant to break it.
No.
Okay, we'll see. We'll see in a few moments. We're going to read the words. We'll see. We'll analyze them in a few moments. But in a chanami, that pasuk is going to be used as in contrast to what Yoel says here. That pasuk is not describing the milchama. That pasuk is describing after milchemes goig umagoig, the times of Mashiach. This is describing the times before Mashiach, the time leading to Mashiach, the milchemes goig umagoig, and it says, koitu, here there is going to be a shortage of weapons. There will not be enough weapons, so therefore they're going to have to improvise. How will they improvise? So they're going to melt down the metal. They're going to search for metal. Anywhere where metal can be found, they'll melt down. Here it's to crush, to break. In this context, it means to transform.
That's happened in the 1812 when the Napoleon was waging the wars.
Yeah.
They were short of metal. All the from the towers, from the church towers, they took off the bells and they converted it in cannons.
Wow.
And after the war ended, they went back. They converted the cannons back to bells.
Really interesting. Very interesting.
That's why the B train is here on the ground. So World War I, they didn't want to build it with steel or metal.
That's why they build it underground. There's less metal when you build it underground than building it above ground. Very interesting. We think just the opposite. Today we wish we could have everything on the ground. It's such a nuisance. McDonald Avenue is just unbelievable.
Just a rusted bridge.
Oh, yeah. It would be so much more pleasant to build it on the ground. Okay, but whatever it means, to hear the pasuk means is to crush and to break your weapon. There will be a shortage of weapons. The Malva will explain in a few moments. We'll see that this is the phase two of the war. Pasuk Tes is the first phase one. In phase one, all of the Giborim are going to die. Everyone mentioned in Pasuk Tes is dead. And all their weapons are gone with them. So what are they going to do now in the second to continue the war? The common folk. They're going to draft the farmers. They're going to draft the people who tend the vineyards, who have absolutely no experience in war and have no weapons, and they're going to go fight with their plows and with their pruning tools. That's how the Malbim learns. He learns Pasuk Yud is going to be phase two of the war. Koitu iteichem, take your plowshares and break them, crush them. In our context, it means transform them. Lacharavois, to swords. Umaz mirois seichem, tools that you use to prune trees. Lirimochim, to spears. Who's going to do this? In the beginning, the Pasuk test said it was the Giborim and the Anshei HaMilchama, people, the professionals. They're all dead. They're gone with their weapons. Here, who's going to take the plowshares and the pruning tools? Hachalosh, the weak people, people who have no experience, who do not belong on the battlefield. Yoimar, they will say, because they have no choice, Gibor Oni, I am in the place, I will replace the Gibor, and my tool will be, my weapons will be my charavos and my itechem and the mazmiroisechem, these will be in place of the weapons. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Then comes phase three of the war, according to the Malbim. Ushu, we'll see soon, has many, many possible translations. Simply, it would mean a moth. I like that the best, in fact, from Rabbi Eliezer, Mibojon Si. He says that Ushu comes from the Lashon of Osh. Osh is a moth. What does a moth do? It bites. It bites, eats clothing, it does damage. So, Ushu vovohu kol hagoyim misaviv. Like moths. Moths, they come to bite, to damage. They come, they're gathering together to bring about churban, destruction to the world. Or it can simply mean, Ushu means come together, gather together. We'll discuss this in a few moments. We'll just get the basic translation. Ushu vovohu kol hagoyim misaviv. All the nations shall now come together, gather together, vinik batsu, another expression which means gather, a few words which mean gather, shama there, hanchas Hashem gibarecha, and in that location Hashem will come down upon your mighty men. So here, now is this pasuk, we'll have to see the Malam how he learns this pasuk, if he learns it as a third part of the war, or it's just a general expression describing Melchemes Goygul Magog, where all the nations will gather together, and there Hanchas means Hashem will descend. Hashem will, or can mean to crush, we'll see there are different translations, all of your mighty soldiers will be destroyed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. One more pasuk, Ye'eru v'ya'alu ha'goyim el emek yehoshafat, may all of the nations, may you all be aroused, and may you ascend to the valley of Yehoshaphat. We mentioned this in great detail in the beginning of this parak. What is the significance of Yehoshaphat? Simply, we'll just translate it now that it's a positive two words. Ka Shoifet. Hashem will judge. The day of reckoning is here for the Ummah Yisraelim. The time of punishment will come upon them for all of the harm they've done to Klal Yisrael throughout the generations. Kisham there. Hashem now is speaking. Eshev la mishpat. Hashem will sit in judgment, es kol ha-goyim misaviv. I can't help but take note of the word expression eshev in contrast. Good morning. In contrast to the yamim noiroim. What does it say about the yamim noiroim? One of the most famous memory chazal on the yamim noiroim. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, he sits in judgment and he sits to judge us with midas hadin. And then when we blow shofar and when we daven, we arouse Hashem's compassion. He is oimed. He gets up from the midah, from the chair, from the kisei of din, and he goes to sit on the kisei shel rachamim. Okay, I don't have the exact words of the chazal on my tongue, but that's what the chazal explicitly said, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he gets up. He's oimed. Here, notice it says a shave. Hashem just stays sitting. Hashem never gets up. Hashem judges the nations with Midas Hadin, and Hashem doesn't feel any need to show compassion. If he would show compassion, then he would get up. He would be oimed from the kisei of din and be yoishev on the kisei shel rachamim. But that does not happen with regard to the umoy so'olam because they're not deserving of rachamim for the sins they have done to Klal Yisrael. Okay, so these are the psukim. The next pasuk is more an elaboration. I think it's a good place to stop. Let's go through the parshah and these three psukim together. Let's start with pasuk tes and the mitzvah stavid. Back on page 255, kiru. Kiru is zois ha'amol lamata hechrizu bein ha'amim. Over here, Yoel is speaking and he's giving a prediction of what's going to be in who knows, 2,000 years from his time, 3,000 years from his time, like more like 3,000 years, the Molchemes Goyg u'Magog, make this announcement, let it be recorded for posterity, what is going to happen. Katshu milcha, it's a very interesting expression. Katshu milchama. Katshu always means designation. A zoyna is called a kedesha. Why is a zoyna called a kedesha? She is designated for averis, to do averis. It does not mean holy. There's nothing more unholy in this world than a kedesha, a zoyna, a kodesh, a man that's also set aside for these purposes. There's nothing more unholy than them. And yet they're called with the term a kedesha and a kodesh. Why? Because the word holy is a borrowed term. Kedusha is not a word in and of itself. And the truth is there is no word to define holiness. Holiness is not related to this physical world. This world, this world is a world of gashmius. Anytime we attempt to describe spirituality, it's only through borrowed expressions. Even Hashem's name, Yud Kei Vav Kei, the most basic name that we use to refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which appears in Tanakh approximately 1,820 times. 1,820 times the name Yud Kei Vav Kei appears in Tanakh. That's the same number of words there are in the Nusach of Rosh Hashanah, the Nusach of Musaf. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah has exactly 1,820 words, corresponding to the number of times Hashem's name appears in Tanakh. What else has exactly that same number? You have to work out the Haggadah. These three things go together. The Haggadah, the Nusach of Musaf of Rosh Hashanah, and the number of times Hashem's name appears in Tanakh. So you have to work out, especially the Haggadah. The Haggadah, you got to figure it out. You got to work it out in all the nuschos. This is a generalization. It's a generalization, and you have to work backwards. Okay, I have never seen anyone that actually did the math to go through the exact nusach, especially with regard to the Haggadah. The Haggadah has many more nuschos than the nusach of Musaf. Nusach of Musaf is much more standard. There are deviations, there are different shinuim, of course, but not as many shinuim as there are in the Haggadah, and you have to erase and add to make it work out. So it's an approximation. Yep.
But here, it sounds closer to Kiddush.
A holy war.
No, Kiddush, you're dying the Rav Lion.
Sanctification.
No, preparation.
Let's go slow. Even Hashem's name, what was I saying? Yud Kei Vav Kei. Even Hashem's name, is that Lashon Kodesh? Yud Kei Vav Kei? No. Yud Kei Vav Kei is Aramaic. It's Aramaic for Hoya Hoive V'yiyeh. It's not Yud Kei Vav Kei is not Lashon Kodesh. It's Aramaic. Why? How could it possibly be the most important word in Tanakh is not even written by Lashon Kodesh? Because there is no word that you can possibly use to describe Hashem. Hashem's holiness is above and beyond. The letters of the Aleph Beis, to a degree, even though they are sacred, but they are rooted in this world. It's something which is physical. The letters have a tzura, a shape, and they're rooted in Olam Hazeh. The Ribbono Shel Olam is Kula Ruchni. You cannot use any words in the holy language that can properly describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's description is beyond our understanding, is infinite. Therefore, when we refer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's only through translation. We know that there is much lost in translation. How do we what's the expression? When you translate something, you lose the flavor. There are words in every single language that are unique to that language, and when you attempt to translate those words into a different language, you lose the flavor of those words. Correct? Like fargin, it's in Yiddish. There's no real good translation to fargin someone. You have to write a whole paragraph to explain what that means. There's no such thing as the mechutin in Lashon HaKodesh. There's no word for mechutin in Lashon HaKodesh. Okay, it's a whole, there's a lot of Torah on this. But whatever, we all know this. So likewise, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we translate Hashem. And therefore, by design, Hashem's essence gets lost in the translation. Because it's impossible to possibly define HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's no way we can possibly define HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Therefore, the word that we use to describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a translation. It's a translation into Aramaic. Yud-Kei Vav-Kei is Lutrikin Hoya Hove V'yiye. Those three words are Aramaic words. They're also one of them is in Hebrew, but these are Hove especially is Aramaic, and therefore it's a composite of three words, and it's not a real word. It's not a real word because you cannot possibly define Hashem. Just like you cannot define HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we have to use a word which is a composite of three words, one of them being Aramaic, which means the whole word is really an Aramaic word. Likewise, holiness. There is no true word in the Torah to define something which is what we call in English holy. There is no such word. The closest thing is we borrow a word. We take a word which means designation, and something which is designated for something which is above and beyond the limitations of this world is holiness. It's a borrowed word. It's Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not the true meaning of the word. It's designation. Now here as well, here we're using this word in its precise meaning. Kadshu means designate a day for war. Okay, now that is the Peshuta Shomirka. However, I can't hold back. I didn't see anyone who says, maybe I saw someone here on the side who says that the Lusa this is, I think I did see someone that actually says, seems to say this is, no, in this context it means holy. And it basically means Melchemes Goig Umogoig is a holy war. It's a war against Hashem. And we, in response, are coming to defend the honor of Hashem and uproot the disgrace that there is to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when it says here in this context, Kadshu Milchama simply means designate a time and a place for war. But on a deeper level, it means sanctify the war. The war is not just a war over territory, a war over water, a war over resources. It's a holy war. It's a war in honor of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Crusades. Jihad and Crusade. Both of those terms that they use, the war against Yishmael and Esav is defined in terms of the words are Jihad. That's the calling cry of the Christians. Of the Muslims. And Crusade is the calling cry of... I mean, crusade literally means to tie the cross, right? A crusade, the literal meaning is to tie the cross to your... Sew the cross on your garment. That's the literal translation of crusade. However, the way it's used by the Christians is a call to murder, to eliminate the infidels in this world in the honor of our God Yashka. So it's a holy war. And jihad by the same means also, I don't know what the literal meaning is, but jihad is the same idea. It's a calling from the Arabs to go to war with the world and to eliminate who they consider to be infidels who have insulted their God, Muhammad. Mr. Rappel, you had a question?
Yeah, No, I just want to. So, how do you translate the word Kodesh as is written in the Torah? For example,
holy, holy. Yishab, I told you, it's a borrowed. It means holy.
But what does it mean?
It means spiritual people, people who acknowledge the. Well, that Daniel, that's the literal translation. That's not the common translation. You take the word literally means it means designation, which is synonymous with separation. But that's not the way we translate it. We translate the word as holy, in English, holy. What does it mean, holy? Holy means spirituality. Yeah. But that's not the literal translation of the word. It's a borrowed term. That's the way we speak. Like, you listen to the radio, what do they say every morning? The White House has issued a statement. Since when does a White House talk? Did you ever see a White House talk? It's nonsense. No such thing. It's a term. The White House is a term that the President of the United States, the office of the executive branch of government, has made a statement. They've passed a law. They've made a whatever it is. It's a term. If by the goyim we use terms, it's part of our vocabulary. So you think the Torah doesn't have terms? The Torah is full of expressions. Another, the most common example is the Shmoyne Esrei. How many blessings are? What is the Shmoyne Esrei? It means you go like this, right? When you say the Shmoyne Esrei, it means you're holding a sitter and you're shuckling quietly. The Shmoyne Esrei. Have you ever even once in your life davened that tefillah that has 18 blessings? Never, never. On Shabbos there are 7. On Rosh Hashanah there are 9. If we would have a real fast day, there would be 24. And during the weekday, 3 times a day, there are 19. So where does this term Shemoyne Esrei come from? What? Oh, exactly. It starts out with some meaning, and then somehow we borrow it. We use it to refer to the Amida, the Zman of Tefillah, the time of Tefillah, when you're Oimei Lifnei HaMelech. The word Kodesh means designation, separation. But that's not the way it's translated, and that's not the way it should be translated. 99% of the time when it says Kedoshim Tiyu, the Pshat, not the Drush, the Pshat is holy. The Pshat is holy. The Drush is the literal translation. You shall be separate and apart and unique. That's the Drush. The Pshat goes so far into the way the word is borrowed to mean you shall be a nation who is completely immersed in spirituality. That's how far we go. We take the word, we don't translate it literally, we translate it in its by borrowing what from this word to refer to spirituality. And when you want to say a Drush, which is something which is not the Iker, you'll say the real meaning of the word Kedoshim, Kodosh, means to be separate and apart. Havdalah, that's not the Pshat. That's a beautiful Drush. How you would think it should be just the opposite. It should be just the opposite. You should say that the word Kedoshim means, the literal word of Kodesh means apart and separate. That's, we shall be people who are set apart in Amuvdol. And you want to say a Drush, you'll say it means Kodesh Kodosh, and you'll say it means holy. But that's not the way 99% of the Mepharshim learn the Pasuk. Because at times, the Torah's intent is the word shall be used in its borrowed sense. And here as well, making out this point over here, I'm asking, what's Pshat in this Pasuk? It says, Hit Kadshu Milchama. We're discussing Milchama Sreg and Magog. So the Pashtunim here on the Mepharshim here, they say it means designation. Designate a day to go to war. But it really has to mean something much deeper. It's not just, in other words, the Pasuk could have used to indicate that it's going to be a designation for war. The fact that we chose this word, which is typically translated as holy, is an indication that this is going to be the ultimate holy war that the world will ever experience. The Molchemes, Goy, Gumogoy, everything will come to the climax of, do you believe? Or do you not believe? Are you going to accept that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Malchus, or are you going to reject it? Indeed, it's going to be a holy war. Sanctify this war. This is going to be something very unique. Let's go further in the Mitzudos David. Back to Back to the pasuk yud. Okay, pasuk yud. Let's get one point. The pasuk test. One more time. Kiros zos amul lamata hechrizu beno amim kachu milchama hu milchames koig al Yerushalayim. Okay, explicitly he learns milchames koig magog. Okay, pasuk yud. Kaitu. What does kaitu mean? Kaitu means shins, to break. Itechem, break your plowshares. Lasois mehem charavois, to make swords. Umaz miroisechem, your plow, the tools you use for pruning. Lasois, to make rimochim, spears. Okay, there's a sword and a spear, different types of weapons, used different ways, not for now. And just you have to improvise. Improvise and use what you can in exchange for weapons. Hachalosh. The mitzvah says very simply over here that everyone's going to this war. Even the weak people are going to go to this war. Okay. Now, a little bit Jewish. This word is itech. Look at the mitzudos tzion, how it translates the word itechem. Itechem. Okay. Pasuk yud in the mitzudos tzion. Shame kli. Also, lachbar on the side, on the left side, page 255. I'm going to mitzvah tzion. What is the itechem? A plowshare. It's a tool you use to cut into the ground. You attach it to the animal, to the cow, the para that's pulling this thing to soften the earth. What is this? It is a clear utensil that is used to dig. It's used to soften the earth. Shame kli or what? To plow. So how do you plow? You need a tool. This is the tool. This is the tool you use to plow. What? Okay, but that's a different type. That's a shovel. That's a different type of tool. This type of tool was used explicitly. Was used expressly to plow. You attach it to the team of oxen. To the team of oxen, and the oxen, they walk, and as it walks, these things dig into the ground, and it creates a furrow. It softens the earth. And what is this tool called? It's called an eight. It's called an aleph tof. Aleph tof, shem kli, osui lachbor bo kamo v'es eso. And in that context, it means the plowshare. So I just want to hold back from thinking that now we're focusing on the yerach ho'ei sonim. What does it mean, the yerach, the month? We discussed this before. What does it mean, the yerach, the month of the ei sonim? What's the literal, the simplest translation? It means the mighty. Eson Moishovecha. Your dwelling place shall be powerful. It's the month of the mighty. The mighty. What's the mighty? What is the symbol? The simplest, you look at the Mepharshim, what's the most simplest translation? Why this is a pasuk in Nach. It's a pasuk that this month, this tkufa of Tishrei is called the Yerach Ha'esonim. The month of the mighty. Why is it called mighty? Because of the mighty mitzvahs that Hashem has given us in this month. What are the mighty mitzvahs? Shofar, v'inisem es nafshoy seichem of Yom HaKippurim, the lulav and the esrog, and sukkah. These are the mitzvah of teshuvah. These are mighty, mighty, mighty mitzvahs. Eisan literally means power and might. That's the simple meaning of the Yerach. We are now on the threshold of the Yerach, the month of the mighty mitzvahs. We discussed a drush, a couple of, maybe last week, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, that the word Eisanim is also rooted to the word Ace. What is Ace? Ace means essence, your essence. Ace Yaakov, Ish, Ubeisoy bo. The Eilesh most b'nei Yisrael asher bo mitzrayma. Eis Yaakov. Ish ubeisoy the bo. The definitive, or Michal, you're talking about the article, right? What is it called? The word ace. The word ace didn't need to say the word ace in the past. It could have said the Eilesh most b'nei Yisrael ha bo mitzrayma. Yaakov. Why did the Torah have to add the word ace? Ace Yaakov.
It's an article.
Oh, the definitive article. Right? Is that the word? Is that the term?
No.
Okay, the word ace is an expression which means the essence. Not just Yaakov didn't come down for shluffin.
The definite article.
Yaakov did not come down to Egypt half asleep. He was already an old man, and they sent him to a retirement home. Right? They said that wasn't how he came down. When he came down with this full toikif. I'll give you a mashal. The Lubavitcher Rebbe, the sixth Lubavitcher Rebbe, he came to America. He was in a wheelchair. He was old and sick. And after the war, Lubavitch was decimated. And the Hasidim, they were convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that it is over. It is over. Yet when they heard, and in America they were living at that time, I read this in one of these books about Lubavitch, they were living in America, they were so many Lubavitcher Hasidim who came from Russia. I guess some also came from Hungary, I would imagine. There were not as many, but a different branch of Lubavitch in Hungary. They came to America, and they were not Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. They abandoned, they gave it all up. They were mamish at when this was, I guess this is in 46? I don't know, when was it? 42? The middle of the war?
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Whenever he came, 42, he came, and already in America, there were many, many, many Lubavitcher Hasidim. They all got word, and they were not religious. Most, the vast majority, gave it all up long ago. And they got word that the Rebbe is coming to America. And the Rebbe was old and very sick. He was in a wheelchair. And they all got excited. They all came to the Makabel, the boat. They came to New York, to the harbor, wherever it was. And they came, they saw the Rebbe, and they all broke out in, I don't know, the nigun, in a beautiful Lubavitcher nigun. And the people who were there, who write about it, they say it was an unbelievable experience. The Hisoirus, these people who gave it up, they came to America, and you can't second guess them, the Nisyonis they had, the poverty, the anti-Semitism, the Tsarist, they saw, they broke out in an old Lubavitcher nigun in Makabel, the Rebbe who came to America. And it was a very beautiful... And then the Rebbe went his way, and they went home, and that was it. That was it. The next day, or shortly thereafter, Hasidim in America, they went to the Rebbe, and they said to the Rebbe, we've put together money, and we're sending the Rebbe to a retirement facility, somewhere in New Jersey, wherever it was, and you live out your last days or years in peace, because it's over. That's it. It's done. America's America. The war is the war, and that's it. But we'll take care of you. We put together money. So the Rebbe listened. He listened for a day, and then shortly thereafter, he called together the Hasidim. He says to the Hasidim, "Where I come from, the Rebbe tells the Hasidim what to do. Not the Hasidim tell the Rebbe what to do." That's exactly what he said to them.
Now it's just the same thing.
What? Now it's not like that. The Hasidim. But that's where I come from. And this that you've told me that it's over, and you give me a couple of bucks, and you're going to put me away in retirement and tuck me in under the bed in retirement, some nice little center out there. No. That's not our plan. We're going to rebuild. We're going to start all over again. And I'm not taking no for an answer. That's what we're going to do. That's the pshat. Eis Yaakov. When Yaakov Avinu came down to Mitzrayim, they probably said the same thing to him. How old was Yaakov when he came to Mitzrayim? 130. They probably said to him, listen, Egypt is not Eretz Canaan. This is not what you're used to. Egypt is the Ervas Haaretz. This is the lowest of the low. This is Las Vegas on steroids. That's what it was. It was the Ervas. You can't walk the streets. There's nothing to do here. Just relax.
But Hashem has the advantage. Hashem appeared to before you return.
Don't worry. Okay, don't worry. They'll take care of you. They'll take care of you. Okay, I'm trying to bring out a point. You're right. That's exactly why. When Yaakov came down there, he didn't go and say, okay, you'll put me away. I'm 130 years old and I'll just go into retirement and we'll hope for the best. Hope for the best. No, Yaakov came down, Eis Yaakov. Yaakov came down with his entire essence, his entire being. I'm not coming here just to put me away in a retirement home. I'm the Rebbe.
It's Yehuda Sholach
Lefanov. Yehuda Sholach Lefanov, he put a plan, he had a vision. He had a vision and a plan, Eis. Eis Yaakov, not just Stam Yaakov. Yaakov means he came down there and he goes on touring, whatever he does. No, we're here for a purpose. It's the Yerach. I'm telling you old Torah because I want to get to the new Torah. Yerach ho'esonim. The shorish of the word, the pshutoy shel mikra, means mighty. The mighty mitzvahs. Some say mighty means it's the zuchus of the others. It's the month which we focus on the mighty Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. We focus on the others, the mois. But the drush is, esonim means ace. Aleph Sof means ace. It's the month of essence. This is the month where you have to look deep, deep down into yourself and ask yourself the question, who am I? Who am I? Am I a person who's striving to retire and just go traveling and have good meals and do this and do that? Who am I? Or am I a person who is striving to accomplish something in the world of the spiritual world? It's the Yerach Ho'es, Aleph Sof, Es Yaakov. It's the month when a person has to define who he is. What does he want out of life? What does he want to accomplish? What is his legacy going to be? How will he influence his children? Now, let's go to another idea based upon what we just learned. The word Es also means a plowshare. Means to dig. It means to dig. This is the month of digging. It's the Yerach of the plowshares. It's the month where you dig. What are you digging? What, you're going to dig in America? They'll put you in jail if you go dig in the street. You're digging deep, deep down in yourself. You're digging to uncover your shortcomings, to uncover your potential, to uncover your roots. What do you want in this world? What are you here for? It's the Yerach, look at the Mitzudos, Shem Kli Osui Lachpor Bo. It's the name of a utensil which is used to dig. It's the month where we take the month is a tool. The Rosh Hashanah, Aseres Yimei Teshuvah, Yom HaKippurim, Sukkot. It's a Yerach, which is a tool, the mitzvahs and the entire seviva of what this month about is all a tool to dig deep down within yourself, discover who you are, what is the purpose of this world, to dig and uncover treasures of spirituality that you never knew existed. Okay, so three/four different perushim of the word, what it means over here. The Yerach Esonim, either the mighty mitzvahs, our mighty ancestors, or it means the essence, a month of essence, Es Yaakov, or a month that is a tool to dig deep, deep down in the world of spirituality. Okay, let's go further. Now we come back to the Mitzudos David. It says, so we did it already, let's go to the next pasuk. We turn the page to page 257. On 257 it says, Shama, b'mkayim ha-milchama yored Hashem es gibarecha, in the place of milchama, Hashem will descend as Gibay Recha Be'imke Hashol. Hashem will descend. So here the Mitzvah stuff is learning. It's a very hard pasuk. Rashi is not so happy with this perush. I think of the Mitzvah we'll see. He types the word Hanchas. The word Hanchas is not a normal word. Okay, it's not. What kind of word is that? What does that mean exactly, Hanchas? Look at the Mitzvah stuff. He struggles. Inyan Yirida, to descend. Like Hanocha. Hanocha means to put down, right? Hanocha, noch, to rest. But it's not the usual way you use this word. Kemo ki yechas oleinu, Hashem will descend upon us. Yechas also means to crush, to destroy. That's other perushim. But over here, the Mitzudos, in a very similar translation, is telling us it means nothing more than to descend. Hashem will descend upon all of the nations that have gathered in this location to punish them for their sins, for what they have done to Klal Yisrael. Next, Pasuk Yudbeis in the Mitzudos, Ye Oiru, Kol HaGoyim Yis Oiru, they will be aroused, V'yalu, and they will ascend, El Emek Yehoi Shafat. So this goes back to what we learned in the beginning of the parak, the word Yahusha, what we learned now, so it means, Hu Mikoyim HaMilchama, it's the place of war. The place, this is the name of a place, nothing to do with Melech Yehoi Shafat, Tam V'achav, It's just a place. Kisham Eshev, Ki Oimer, Hine Shem Mikoim HaMilchama. The name of this location is symbolic. Yoyre Al Ra'asam. It eludes, it teaches, exposes their evil. What does that mean? Kisham their eshbad is kol ha'amim misaviv. I will punish them, I'll judge them. Al mashe heireu li Yisrael, regarding what they have done to my people throughout history. Okay, that's the end of the mitzvah. Now let's go to Rashi. Rashi is a bit of a struggle. Let's try to figure out these Rashis. Rashi starts with Pasuk Tes back on page 254. Kadshu milchama, designate, I'm going to translate it simply, designate a day of war, im tuchlun lihilochem kinegdi. So Rashi over here is adding something. Milchama, Hashem is teasing them. Hashem is telling all these people, oh, you want to fight, you think you're a match for me.
Pick a day.
Pick a day. You're a bunch of fools. Everyone knows that no one's a match for the Ribbono Shel Olam. What does it even mean? Rashi is bothered. What does it even mean that Hashem is saying, let's designate a day of war? It almost sounds like, literally, that Hashem Chas V'Shalom is acknowledging, I have an opponent in this world. I've met my match. It's a big
curses. They used to have duels. They used to challenge somebody to a duel.
John Adams.
At a designated time and place.
Right?
No, you mean Aaron Barr.
No, Joy, right, Joy.
Alexander Hamilton.
I'm sorry. I don't get my American history, right? Can you imagine today, you go with politicians, Trump, Trump goes, let's just go into the street. Let's go with the revolver. Oh, we're the best show on earth, right?
That's why they had
the duel
in
New Jersey.
What? Titus, Tito, but there Titus did it. There Titus, a fool, he did it. Hashem here is telling, if you take the pasuk literally, and you don't add any sarcasm into the statement, Hashem, it almost is, it's not Shabbat curses. It's like Hashem is saying, I've met my match. I've met my match, and now we're gonna have a war, and let the best man win. Okay? That's Shabbat curses. There's no match for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So what then does it mean? Rashi says, this is sarcastic. Don't take this literally. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making litzonis. If you don't inject that element into the translation of the words, you're in a lot of trouble. You mamish, then this pasuk is mamish pure kafira. Could not be bigger kafira than this to translate the words literally. That's so why Rashi is so critical. Rashi is so halik. Rashi, you don't even learn Rashi. You're doomed. I recently read the book, the Art Scroll book. One of the best stories of the whole book, the book about Zlatowitz, is where they're working on a project, a major project in Art Scroll. They had a deadline. I guess there was a donor, big money, and there was a lot of pressure. Their reputation, v'chulu, and there was a very big person in Talmud Chacham in charge of the project. And he completed the work just in the nick of time when they had to do a lot. And the manuscript was in his hand, and he went to Mayor Zlatowitz, he went to the manuscript, and in the manuscript, the person wrote something that was that he felt was not nice about Rashi. He quoted Rashi's pshat, and he dismissed Rashi in a very negative, he doesn't say exactly what it was, in a very negative and nasty way. Rashi made a mistake, Rashi didn't know this, blah, blah, blah. And it bothered Rabbi Zlatowitz very, very much. How he dismissed Rashi with such a cavalier way.
Inappropriate?
He felt, that's what he felt. So he showed it to many Talmidei Chachamim. He didn't do it on his own. He showed it to many Talmidei Chachamim. And they all agreed with him 1,000%. That's not the way you write about Rashi. It's not the way. It's not. This is not their cheretz. So the editors said, so the deadline is here. No problem. We'll just take it out. It was no big deal. The work is gold. What the person did, it's gold. The manuscript is second to none. And no, he wrote one paragraph. So there's always objectionable things in every manuscript. Nothing's perfect. You can't expect perfection. we'll take it out. We'll clean it. We'll clean it up. Like would they anyway do it? So he said, no. A person that can write something like this cannot be part of what we are doing here. We are here to preserve, to transmit the Mesorah in its purest form to the next generation, language they understand. A person that can write like this cannot be part of what we are all about. Therefore, I'll pay him the full salary. He'll get every penny I promised him for his work, but we're not going to use the manuscript. Shameless, put it away. Start all over again. Hire someone new, start from scratch. A person has an attitude, it creeps in the whole thing. That's an amazing thing. That really speaks volumes. Talk about volumes, okay? Pun intended, of what he believed in, what his mission was, how he viewed his mission. Yeah? What? Okay, I'm not talking about, listen, everyone has different approaches to this. I'm just telling you a story from him. I'm not telling you, listen, Sansino Shas, we know as a fact, every volume, I don't know the details, but it's always, it's been said, no one ever challenged, not every volume of the Sansino Shas was translated by a person who was Yerush Shammai. There are some volumes that were, that are very, very great, but not every volume. All right, it's not the end of the world. It's okay. But he had a very high standard for what he wanted to do. It speaks volumes, because Rashi is the Rabban Shel Yisrael. And here, it's a very dangerous pasuk. And these words of Rashi are very, very critical. It's not a lightweight thing. The pasuk here says that Hashem is saying, designate a day of war. If you don't learn Rashi, the words im tuchlun lilochim kinegdi, then the pasuk is mamash apikursus. Hashem is basically saying is, okay, I've met my match, let's go to war. That's nonsense. Obviously Hashem is being sarcastic. Ha ha ha. Who do you think you are? You think you're going to fight against me? Pasuk yud. Pasuk yud is kotu kumo katasu. Okay, kotu means to go and to smash. Itechem. Okay, Michal, we haven't done this in a long time. We need you now.
A coulter.
So what's a coulter? That's the attachment to an axe.
It's called a pruning hook. That's the wrong one. Yeah, a plowshare, right.
A plowshare.
Don't we find by Moshe Rabbeinu that Hashem says, test me? And Hashem says, test me when you want this mako.
Test me. His spoiler lie.
Right.
His spoiler lie, Mosai. Yeah,
like you say.
Right. Okay. All right. It's mockery. It's not a statement. It's not a. I've met my match. Yeah. Exactly. It's the same idea. Okay. But next. Okay. Next word. Pasuk Gidal. Ush. Okay. This is a hard word to translate. What does it mean? Ush. I told you it means a moth. Rashi says of every chiddush it means kmo chushu. Okay. Rashi says it means swiftly. What? Sorry. Okay. The other way. You said Masmiroi Sechem. Your pruning tools.
Suggests to me like a serpent, in other words, a hook.
A serpent, it's wrapped around, like circular. Okay, a certain type of hook which you use to saraf, to prune the trees. Pasuk Yud Aleph means ushu. Ushu vovohu kol hagoyim yisav. What does it mean, ushu? So Rashi says, kmo chushu. Now, how did Rashi go from ushu to chushu? That's quite a stretch. Chushu means swiftness, quickly. Don't waste time. No wasting time over here. Let's get down to business. Right. So I see all he says over there is, Rashi, what he does, he exchanges the letter Aleph for the letter Ches. The letter Aleph turns into the letter Ches, because the same, the Goroin, the Chiluf, sorry,
because they're
the Ayin, a guttural sound. Shema. You ever hear the Briskas say Shema? Shin Mem Ayin. They have some. I can't even imitate what they do. I don't even know what they're doing. The Ayin, the real way. You have to Bangala Yankel. What is Yaakov turn into Yankel? Yankel, because the Ayin is really an N sound. An N sound. You have to differentiate between an Aleph and an Ayin. Most of us don't differentiate. It's all the same to us. It's not the same thing. An Ayin, has a different sound. So therefore, when you say Shema, if you just ignore the last letter like an Aleph, so you're not being Mekayim the Mitzvah, the Reis of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. It's a big problem. It's a really big problem because we know that we don't do it the real way. So those that are meticulous, I don't know, I can't do it anyway, I can't do it, but they somehow say the Shema in a different pronunciation. Very meticulous. He knew how to do this. But the average person cannot do this. But those who are meticulous, you exchange the Aleph, the Ayin is a different sound. Now that sound of the Ayin is part of the same group of sounds that come from the throat. And thus, in the laws of Drush, you are permitted, for the purpose of translation, the Drush, to exchange that set of letters. Thus, the Ayin here is exchanged with the letter Ches. Because Ches comes from the same part of the throat, and therefore, instead of it saying Ushu, it's as if it says Hushu. What does it mean, Hushu? Swift. Swiftness. So, Hushu Vavohu. No wasting time. Everyone, immediately, go to your place, to your battle station. Go to their Hushu. This is Hakach Chibroi Menachem. That's how Menachem, how he understands this word. The Yoinason Tirgame, Yiskanshum. It's a verb. Yoinason learns, that's the common translation, Ushu, that's what most Mefarshim learn. Ushu, it's a verb. It's a command. Hashem is giving a command, mobilize. Mobilize. Gather together. Ushu vovo, gather together and come. The Oimerani. Now here's what's very tricky. Rashi seems to be saying the same exact thing, but he's not. So how do you differentiate between Rashi and what he says in the name of the Targum? The difference is, according to what he quoted from the Targum, it's a verb. It's a command. Rashi, it's an adjective maybe? I'm not sure that's the right way to refer to it. Imrani, shehu l'shoin eshes, it's eshes means a tablet. You know,
a block.
A block, in the English translation, it's a tablet of shein of ivory. It's an example of eshes shein, your stomach. Your me'ayim is eshes, like an eshes of shein. Hashem said, Klal Yisrael, that your belly is like a tablet of ivory. Okay, some very precious, of an elephant. Something very, very precious. Barzel oshois, a block, means like a block of iron. So what's then the difference, which means hamechunos yachat, that is gathered together in one location. And then he quotes over here, what does this mean over here? In
mass.
A mass. Very good. V'ein tabo yisod, and therefore the tav of, in these words, of Oshoy, in these words, and he's quoting of Barzel Oshoyz and Eshes, the tav is not part of the root. The root is just ayin, shin. And here as well, there is no tav, ayin, and the shin. Now, what then is the difference between Rashi and the Targum? The Rashi says it's a collection, and the Targum says Yiskan Shun. The difference is, according to the Targum, it's a verb, it's a command. Hashem is giving a command. Get yourself together and come. According to Rashi, it's not a command. It's a definition. It's like the definite article to a degree. It's Ushu Vavohu, it's a statement. The nations have gathered together. It's not, I'm not commanding you to get it together. I already did that already. I already told you to get together in Pasuk Tes. In Pasuk Tes, I already issued a call for war. So you're already at your battle stations. So what is Pasuk Yud Aleph coming to add that I already have not added? Now, when everyone is in position, now let's make an observation. Let's do some reconnaissance. Let's send out a drone and see what do we got on the ground. And Hashem says, They listened to me. They all got together. Ushu vavohu kol hagoyim misaviv. They are gathered. They indeed listened to me, and they're collected. All the nations together from all parts of the world, ready to fight me. And now I'm going to come down and destroy them. So it's really the same idea as the Targum, except the Targum, Hashem is giving a command. Nations of the world, I'm commanding you, you should now get together and come. According to Rashi, they already got together and came. Because we already gave them the command in the beginning of the Pasuk test. Here it's an observation. Hashem is saying, they've listened, they're now Ushu Vavohu. The word Vavohu can be translated either way, depending on the context. Now the Ushu means it's a collection. Vavohu, the words together mean, I have now acknowledged that the nations of the world have gathered together in this location, and it's going to be here where Hanchas Hashem Gibarech Hashem will come down hard and destroy your mighty people. Okay, let's go to the next Rashi. Let's try to finish the Rashi over here. Rashi put next Rashi, Shom Hanchas Hashem Gibarech. As we mentioned before, with Hanchas is a very hard word to translate. Shom there, Bikvutzas Emek Yehoshaphat Yishbar. There, so he's trained Hashem Givurashem, Kain Tirgum Yonasan. Rashi is translating the word Hanchas not like the Mitsudos David. The Mitsudos David was clear as day. The word Hanchas comes from the Lashon of Hanocha, to come to rest, to come down. Hashem is going to descend upon them. He learns Hanchas means to destroy. The word is Yishbar. Nichas.
One is come down and the other is to break down.
To break down, to break apart. It's a different word. It's a whole different word. I mean, they're related to a degree, but it's an entirely different word. Hashem is going to break Hanchas, Hashem Gibarecha, Hashem now will Shama there, and then we go after the word, Shama there, Hanchas, Hashem Gibarecha, Hashem will break, will destroy your mighty people. Kain Tirgum Yoinasan. Rashi says, V'eini yodeh im l'shoin arami, l'shoin harada, oy l'shoin, he takes both interpretations. Here he says what the Mitzudos will later. Mitzudos says, does it mean is the Targum really correct? Is the Targum the only parish for this word? It all depends on what this word means. I do not know myself. Rashi's Loshoin Arami, Loshoin Horoda. According to the Mitzudos, there's a problem with his translation because that's not the word. It's not a Hebrew word. Hanocha Hanchas is an Aramaic. I'm not familiar with the grammar of how all these things work. But what he's saying over here, as a matter of fact, that the word Hanchas, the way the Targum, the way the Mitzudos is translating this, would be Aramaic. And that's not ideal. It's not ideal to inject into Psukim Aramaic words. Not that we don't do it, but it's not the ideal thing to do. Then indeed it would mean Hoyroda to descend. Oy l'shon chatas. Chatas means to break, to shatter. V'hanun boy noifel. And if that's the case, then the nun here in this word Hanchas is not part of the Shoresh. It's just his padding, L'shipur HaLashayin, Kimo, Apasik Hanel, now this is a different word, Hanel L'Donil Kodomalka. The Donil, he stood, L'shon of Na'al. He was brought in front of the king. So the word is not the nun. They're just giving you an example that in that word, the ayin, and at least in Rashi's interpretation, the ayin and the lamed is the only part of the shoresh. The nun does not belong there. So what's it there for? It's just there to beautify the word. To beautify the word, the nun falls away.
Make it more pronounceable.
More pronounceable. Shipur halashon. Whatever that means. Pronunciation, the beauty of the word. So just like there where it says, han al li donil kodamalka lashon al, which means oil, he entered. Doniel was brought to the king, and the only letters of the word are Ayin Lamed, and the nun falls away. Likewise, here when it says Hanchas, the nun is not part of the word, the nun falls away, and the only real letters is Ches and Tov, which is some lot which is the Shurish of Chatas. Chatas means to shatter and to break, it's basically the two main letters of that word. And the Shein by Oisiois, Shoresh Ela'al. Okay, so therefore, basically, you have two different translations for this word. Either it means Hashem will descend, or it means Hashem will shatter. The benefit of saying it means Hashem will shatter is it's Lashon Kodesh. It's not Lashon Arami. The benefit of saying it means to descend is you don't have to dismiss the letter Nun. The Nun can then be part of the Shoresh. It can be part of the Shoresh if you want it means to descend. So each approach, each opinion has its benefits. Okay, so that concludes the Mitsudos and the Rashi. We're out of time. Tomorrow we'll pick up with other Mefarshim.